UpToDate wants to know what you're talking about with family and friends. You can text UTD to 816-601-4777 to tell us. Again, 816-601-4777.
This is UpToDate on KCUR 89.3. I'm Danny Alexander. Steve is off this week. Elon Musk made news when he offered $44 billion for social media site Twitter. He made news again when he tried to get out of the deal, and yet again when Twitter called his bluff and Musk ended up going through with the purchase. He's continued to make headlines with his management style, with more than half the company's workforce either laid off or leaving in a matter of just weeks. All of this has made Twitter users nervous about whether the site will survive and what will it look like if it does when Musk is done shaping his vision of it. Here to walk us through some of this is Amanda Hoover, staff writer for Wired. Amanda, welcome to UpToDate.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
No, thank you for joining us. First off, the staff reduction at Twitter has left some departments with few or literally no employees. Elon Musk had to send a general email asking anyone who writes code for the company to assemble at headquarters this weekend. Do you think the number of workers who posted the salute emoji as they left caught Musk by surprise?
I don't know if he's surprised. It was quite a large number, though. The estimates are about 1,000 to 1,200 people may have left at the end of last week. So, you know, you're talking, this was a company a month ago, 7,500 people got cut in half, another 1,000, 1,200 people. So Twitter's a huge website. It seems like we're all just posting quick little quips on there. But to do that globally requires a lot of engineers and a lot of workers. And there's been, like you said, entire departments eliminated. So this is a very big deal for how Twitter operates.
Yeah, I was, if you want to give it kudos, though, I mean, it held up over the weekend with the place in disarray. So you got to give credit to the code that has been written for it. At that far, it's working. So I guess a lot of people are waiting to see for how long. But another number of other major companies, including Meta, Snap, and Lyft, have cut their workforces as well. So how bad a time is it for tech workers to become unemployed?
There's a lot of shocking layoff numbers coming out of these big tech companies. I've done some reporting on this, though. You know, there are a lot of other roles. They just aren't at these big name companies. There's lots of companies that are eager to scoop up these very qualified tech workers. Some of these are in government, agriculture, retail, you know, things that we don't necessarily think of as the tech sector, but tech touches everything. And these workers are coming out into this economy, where there are still a lot of opportunities for them, despite what these headlines look like. You know, there have been tens of thousands of layoffs in the past few weeks, but there are millions of tech workers and millions of tech jobs that exist. You know, so this is a smaller portion of what the industry looks like for tech workers.
So will some, I mean, I keep thinking that all tech workers are not necessarily interchangeable. Some may have to acquire a new skill or, learn a different formatting, that type of thing. Do you think it's going to be as easy as it sounds to with the way you just described it?
Anytime that you take a new job, you know, there's a learning curve. And I think companies are aware of that when they're hiring software engineers or anybody. One of the things that we have seen at these companies that might be a bit tricky, a lot of people that work in recruiting have been laid off because these companies were in such growth mode during the pandemic, you know, when more people are spending time at home and time online. So they were growing really, really quickly. So for especially people like that who work in recruiting, if the economy, you know, starts to slow down across the board, some of those positions might be a little bit harder to find.
Well, moving over to users, I've been seeing user farewell messages, and I kind of it made me think about letters you read from soldiers like in World War I before they march off to war. The end isn't far away, and if Twitter doesn't make it, it's been great getting to know you. You can find, and then, you know, they list their Instagram, TikTok, one of the lesser known platforms. What reasons are you hearing for people leaving Twitter, the ones that are leaving voluntarily?
I think that not as many people left voluntarily as maybe was expected. You know, on the eve of Musk closing this deal, there were a lot of people that were saying, like, where do we go? What do we do? I'm quitting. I spoke to one or two people who were quitting. Like, they were done. They were just going to not be around for the Musk era of Twitter. But mostly people are just looking for a new outlet. They're concerned about hate speech. They're concerned about Twitter glitching and just not working. They're concerned about people like former President Donald Trump's account, which was reinstated over the weekend. They've been concerned about people like that coming back. And some of these are people from marginalized groups who want to have safe spaces, who have not ever really had a fully safe space on Twitter, but at least with some moderation, you know, they had some protections from hate speech and harassment. So I was hearing a lot from people that are looking to launch new communities, and they aren't necessarily leaving Twitter. They want to start building that so they have something in case things do go down.
Well, and was it just me, or did it seem that reinstating the former president's account was the last straw for a number of users? Because I saw a number of mm-hmm. well-known academics. They were like, that's it, I'm out. And gone. I mean, they didn't even say where they were going to be found. I mean, did you see that as well over the weekend?
A bit. It very well may be. There's still a lot of chatter on Twitter this morning. You know, it's still there. Mm-hmm. It was definitely busy all weekend, too. And there's debate as well about whether or not Trump will really take advantage of his return to Twitter, because he has his own platform.
It would look a little bad, don't you think, to use somebody else's platform when you've got your own?
He has a stake in Truth Social, and in that being successful. And Truth Social, a lot of the trending topics over there are all politics. You know, on Twitter, you see everything. I've spent a little bit of time seeing Truth Social and seeing the type of things that trend over there. It's very, very political. So he might have, so far he has a smaller audience over there than he would have with Twitter. And if he's going to really be trying to ramp up energy and excitement for his campaign, Twitter might be a better place to do some of that to a larger user base. We'll see. You know, as of this morning, his last tweet was from January of 2021. He has not taken advantage of being reinstated yet when I checked. So we'll have to see what he does. And if he decides to post to both, I believe his posts on Truth Social, he has to go there first, and then they have to be up there, and he can post some of the same things then to Twitter. There's a bit of a technicality there as well about how he can now like use both the platforms.
Okay, that'll be fun to see. I could not see how we'd be using both of them, but now you've just explained that as long as he gets it up on Truth Social first, then the idea is that he can go ahead and put it out on Twitter.
Yeah, I believe there's a time limit.
Okay.
That it has to be like exclusively on Truth Social. And there's certain types of content that doesn't matter for, like things that can go at simultaneously on both platforms. So we'll have to see if he decides to use it again. The fact that it's, you know, being a full...
There are going to be some reporters being, yeah, I'm going to say there's going to be some reporters being very busy tracking the former president.
Yes.
But there are groups that will really be impacted if the platform does not survive. You kind of mentioned some of those. There are journalists, I know, for one. There are a number of them are like, well, you know what? We're going to hang out to the end. We'll go as long as we can. And, you know, that's where it's been, because it's become a real source for a lot of people, myself included. Minimalized populations for another. You've talked to some people who were worried. What did you hear? I'm trying to remember the one young lady you spoke with.
Yeah, I spoke with someone in the transgender community mm-hmm. who has, you know, a few thousand followers, has been on Twitter for many years, and it's a tight-knit community. That's a place where she felt people could come, and it's so different from other social platforms because it's not video and photo driven. And for people that are exploring their identities, trying to figure that out, just a text-based platform can feel a lot more comfortable, is how she framed that to me. So she was starting a Discord channel and hoping to bring like members of that community over to the Discord channel who wanted to be there and who wanted to have more moderated conversations that felt like safe spaces.
Yet there are users who have declared they will stay with Twitter, even if it's just to watch Elon Musk try to pull together the now tattered company. He believes in a truly public platform. He isn't big on moderating content, though I think he's moderating his stance on moderation at the moment. And he has a management style that just, I mean, for me, it causes mental whiplash for me. Is there a method to his madness that you can discern?
This is a thing that has been known about him he's you know, involved in several companies. I know that this has come up at Tesla as well, that he's a very intense manager. And when he sent that note out to Twitter workers last week saying, you know, check yes if you want to work very hardcore at Twitter. And a lot of people did not like that. That's when we saw at least 1,000, maybe 1,200 employees leave. And that was just too much for them. So it's one type of management style. I think we've seen a lot of pushback just across the board on that over the past year with the the trend of quiet quitting and people kind of trying to find more work-life balance, and that being a very big deal for many people, especially younger workers. So we'll see what effect that has on the employees that do remain. It's really hard to tell, who's staying and how they feel about him right now.
You're listening to Up to Date on KCUR. I'm Dani Alexander, and with me is Amanda Hoover, a staff writer for Wired. We're looking at the status of Twitter, which could change from day to day. Amanda, a number of users haven't left the platform, but they are preparing, as you noted, in case Twitter ends up in bankruptcy. What are some of the other options that they've told you they're going to?
Mastodon is one that's seen a surge in signups. That is an open source decentralized platform. The thing that's a little tricky about Mastodon, it looks a bit like Twitter. You're posting short messages, but you have to join specific servers and they were really overloaded, because it's not like Twitter where it's one big centralized server that can handle all of the traffic of millions of users. You know, these are smaller volunteer run servers that have hosted little communities for the past few years. So then as people were just trying to get in anywhere at all to Mastodon, they were joining random servers. There are people that have to pay to upgrade the servers, and this is just being done on a volunteer basis. So people seem to be more learning the platform, getting in. Some of that big hectic rush that we saw a couple of weeks ago is perhaps slowing a bit, but it's a very different type of platform. And I think also some users that go there feel frustrated that it's not just exactly like Twitter, and it doesn't work exactly like Twitter.
Well, and the other thing, when I was, because I went in and looked at Mastodon, is that you kind of have to find, what the community you want. So, you could have, like you said, these are all individual servers, and one server may be for, the knitting moms of America, and the other one may be for political news junkies, but you have to go and find that. So I guess if you want to be on, but once you're on one, do you know if you can check out others as you go along? Yeah, you can.
You can cross follow people across different servers. A lot of people wanted to be in kind of the big original servers, I think, at first, because it just seemed like the place that they would see the most content, and those had to close to signups. And then they were saying, join a different server and find your friends across different Mastodon servers. And we've seen on Twitter a lot of people putting their new Mastodon username either in their profile or even in their name on Twitter so that people can find them, because it is a bit trickier if you aren't super familiar with Mastodon to be doing that within the platform.
But even so, there may be an opportunity here for another platform to snag a larger share of users while Twitter is trying to restructure itself.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it seems that it's people are, like I said, they're not necessarily like quitting entirely and going over to Mastodon, but adding something new. And most of us have more than one type of social media anyway.
And for those leaving Twitter, a major concern is archiving their account. Can they do that? And what are the options for doing that?
Mm-hmm. There's, if you, on Twitter, there's a way to archive all of your own data. There's been issues with people. There were a couple breakdowns with it this week where people weren't getting their two-factor verification codes via text. Maybe you could still get them via email, but that was one roadblock. I think it was also, it takes a long time depending on how many tweets you have. It's been a little bit tricky, and that's just to archive your own individual account. A lot of what is important on Twitter, probably aren't the things that we've all individually tweeted. There's a lot of documentation there of human rights violations, different things going on with protests around the world, and all of that. You can't really, there's nobody that can get their arms around it to archive all of that information. It's more individuals.
Well, if the Smithsonian can't do it, I don't know who could.
Yeah.
That's Amanda Hoover. She's a staff writer for Wired. Amanda, thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Up to Date is a production of KCUR 89.3. Our theme music was composed by the great Bobby Watson. The program is produced by Dani Alexander, Zach Wilson, Elizabeth Ruiz, and Reginald David. Our engineer is Paul Nakatura. I'm Steve Kraske. Thanks for listening.